Hey everyone, I am Pastor Aaron Perdue here at Charis Christian Center. This is my lovely wife, Heather. We both do youth ministry together and help at the church in a lot of capacities, but so great to see you. We are live right now. So if you are on right now on social media, YouTube, Instagram, you're welcome to leave comments, even questions. If we can fit in a question, we'll do that. We like to go live as much as we can with the Perdue podcast. So it's a great way to connect with a lot of people. We have people all around the country, all around the world that call this place home. So we like to connect with you however we can. So go ahead and leave a comment. Just say where you're watching from. Chrissy.
Hey, Chrissy.
Is watching from here in the building, which is awesome.
Thanks, Chrissy.
So we're glad we can connect with her.
Yeah.
Via YouTube comments.
There was something I was going to say, and now I can't remember what it was. Oh, yeah. Notes are in the description for this topic that we're sharing with you guys today. But yeah,
the notes,
there's something
the notes
else.
Are awesome too.
What else?
What time did you do these notes?
I don't know. It was like 5 or 5:30 or something.
Yeah,
hello, Millers. Hello, Joni. I don't know. We really look forward to doing this every Monday. We love connecting with people. We love talking to you guys and girls. And there's no place we would rather be. We want to make sure that you connect with us by commenting whatever. If you have a question, you know, if your question is far out and doesn't really pertain to the topic, we would love to offer you the idea of coming back after this ends and repost it so we can answer it in the comment section. I think that would be a lot better. So any questions that you have, if we don't get to them during the podcast, the chat, what do you call that? I know that not the chat stream, the chat column of the comments the comments that are rolling right now, they all disappear for some reason. We don't know where they go after the live ends. So if you have a question that we didn't answer, be sure to drop it in the comments after the live ends, and that way it will stick around and stay, and we can come back and we can chat with you that way. So share this. That's what I was gonna say. Share it. Please share this. If you're watching on Facebook, share it to your Facebook page. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the share button. I keep bumping into this, Kevin. You can share the YouTube by hitting the share button. You can text it to a friend, add it to your own playlist on YouTube, on your own YouTube channel. Okay, I think that's covered everything.
Yeah, so we generally try to go live on Monday afternoons, usually around 1:30. I think last week we did 1 o'clock, a little bit earlier.
Our schedule was kind of crazy last
week. Yeah. But usually around 1:30 on Mondays, we try to go live. And so we'll be live again next Monday. The Monday after that, in 2 weeks, we'll actually have a special guest for the podcast, Marcus Kreiner.
Yeah.
I'll be filming a podcast with him next week. He'll be here for a couple of days here at the church next week on Tuesday and Wednesday. He pastored at a church in...
Where did he pastor? Florida?
Yeah, in Florida. He was at one church. He helped someone plant a church in Florida and worked there for 20 years.
That's amazing.
One job.
Faithful.
Very faithful person, worship pastor. And I think about a year and a half ago or so, he launched out and started his own traveling ministry. And he came here kind of early on in that new endeavor and was just a major blessing to our worship team, our creative arts teams. And we did a special workshop, on a Tuesday night, and then he spoke to the whole church on a Wednesday. But our church was so blessed by him that Pastor Lawson actually helped in a big way, helped them fund getting an RV for him, his wife, and their two boys. So they've used that to travel a lot and to do ministry. He also just got a new position. He still primarily travels, but he oversees all the worship for a large group of churches. Pastor Joel Sims out of Jackson, Mississippi has a very large church and several campuses, but he put Marcus, the official title, Marcus told me it's very cheesy, it's like Senior Global Worship Director.
You better not say that. He said it was cheesy. If his boss finds out, he might not like that.
I know. but he goes to Jackson once or twice a month and just helps with the teams there and still travels a lot, and we're glad
talk
he's going to be here.
Talk about God promoting you through your faithfulness, like quickly too, you know? But I'm sure it didn't feel quickly to Marcus because he remained faithful to that one church just working within that church for 20 years. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Anyway, yeah. You don't want to miss Marcus Kreiner. He's going to be awesome.
Yeah, so he'll be so on be the...
not this next Monday, but Monday after.
Yeah. In 2 weeks, we'll have that podcast available here on YouTube.
It's going to be good. I can't wait to see it.
It's going
to
be awesome. I'm really excited about the topic today. We've been talking about this amongst ourselves,
mm-hmm.
about contentment.
Yeah.
And Pastor Heather just told me something right before we came here. And you said you're gonna try to not shop for as long as you...
I didn't say try. I said, I'm not going to buy any new clothes for a long time. That's what I said.
So it kind of flows with our...
Well, that's what this... You know what? We do not preach things that we don't live. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times we have to say that.
That we implement into our own lives.
That we don't... Yeah. And do we do it perfectly? No. Okay? No. But we... So, like, if any messages from us sound, like, a little hard, that's how we are with ourselves. It's not a personal thing mm-hmm. against you guys watching this or, you know, the people that come to the church. It's, I feel, the way I teach and preach things is the way I feel like God talks to me,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so Pastor Aaron said, I want to talk about contentment tomorrow because that's something we've been talking about. Well, it quickly for me turned into a topic of covetousness this morning. And so I thought maybe today we could talk about covetousness, but then maybe next week, mm-hmm. if we don't turn it toward contentment, then maybe we can do that next week.
Mm-hmm. So in covetousness, like wishing that you had someone else's life.
Yeah.
Or some aspect of that person's life.
Mm-hmm.
It flows into discontentment.
You know? It does.
They're very similar things. Mm-hmm. And contentment, I used the scripture yesterday in the offering that godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
And just the more I think about it, you know, a lot of people are very discontent.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when people are discontent, they get ungodly as well. You know, if you're covetous, you know, discontent, you're going to step into ungodly things. Like if you covet someone else's wife, that's not going to lead to more godly behavior. It's going to lead to ungodliness. You know, or if you covet, it's...
To me, it's almost like that saying, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like it's hard to distinguish which one leads to which, but I know they're both wrapped up together,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, and the scripture right after it is that... it's in 1 Timothy 6, I believe it's verse 6 and 7, but the scripture right after in verse 7 says, you know, it's certain that we came into this world with nothing and we're not going to leave with anything as well.
Yeah.
And then he flows on and talks about how if you have food and clothing, it doesn't say how much clothing.
Which, I know it didn't say.
But, you know, you should be happy with, you know, the basic necessities that you have that God's given you.
Yeah.
And something I realized too, this was about 10 years ago, but I saw this study done on just people's happiness. There is not a direct correlation between happiness and finances. There's not a direct correlation between happiness and salary. They did a specific look at people's salaries and how overall happy they were. As long as people hit a certain threshold,
and had their basic
At that time, they said the threshold was like $70,000 a year for a household. If people had $70,000 a year as a household, beyond that, if you make $80,000, $100,000, $500,000, $1 million a year, it doesn't have any correlation, any impact on people's happiness.
Yeah.
So as long as people's basic needs are covered, you know, if you lack food, if you lack clothing, if you lack shelter, you know, you're going to have a lot
of
struggles. Yeah, it's going to affect you emotionally. But once the bases are covered, that it doesn't have a direct impact on your own personal happiness.
Yeah.
And actually what will grow your happiness, grow your purpose, grow your joy is not what you're receiving, but what you're giving.
Yeah.
Beyond that.
But you know what?
The study didn't say that, but I know that because that's Bible.
Yeah, it is Bible. But you can be a giver and you can still be covetous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Ask me how I know.
It's true.
Don't, just kidding. Don't ask me how I know. Okay, so, you know what? You can't hide the fact that you struggle with covetousness through being a big giver.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also,
you can't do that.
I actually,
and I feel like sometimes that's what I have done. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a big giver. I like to give. I'm very generous. So therefore, I'm just gonna go, you know. Mm-hmm. If I see somebody that says, oh, you need this, you know, and I fall into that and go buy it.
Mm-hmm. Well, something we've talked about too with just how drastic the world has shifted in the past 20 years with social media, technology. You know, Facebook came out in, I don't know, like 2003, 2004. YouTube came out in 2005.
Yeah.
So really in 20 years,
oh my gosh,
everyone has access to everyone, and everyone can say whatever they want, show whatever they want. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of created this comparison thing. Mm-hmm. Where you see so much of people's highlights on Instagram, on YouTube, on Facebook, you see all these highlights. It subconsciously, you start feeling like I need to compare myself. Like, well, her hair is nicer than my hair. I better buy that product. Or, you know, they go on nicer vacations, nicer homes, nicer. Just, and it leads into.
I'll be happy when.
Into that covetousness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was actually talking to my mom, Pastor Barbara, about this just for a couple of minutes.
Was today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I called her when I was driving home for lunch and told her about what we were going to share on. And she said when she was a kid, or like a teenager, when she was a teenager, a lot of girls her age really struggled with eating disorders.
Oh, yeah.
And she said like magazines were a big deal, like beauty magazines. And she said all of them were Photoshopped. That's like when people first learned how to Photoshop maybe 40 years ago and really edit photos. So, you know, after that, companies had to kind of backtrack and just say like, love yourself. You know, like she said, there was a motto that Dove, you know, body wash came out with, like, just you are like, love who you are.
Yeah.
Was their motto for all their advertising. But
they had to backtrack.
Because, yeah, and people didn't know that Photoshop was a thing.
Well, and then the early 2000s happened. And then we had like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. Do you guys remember? And everybody was like this big around. Mm-hmm. They were basically bones, skeletons with skin on them. Mm-hmm. Everybody was super skinny.
Like all the Abercrombie.
Oh man.
And Fitch. I remember that being a big deal.
Said I was in the Philippines and I actually saw a kid that only had a tire and a stick for a toy and he was having a good time. Caleb, don't test me. I will throw away all my kids' toys. Okay. I'm so over all this stuff. When I sat down to write these notes, which we haven't even started yet, and we need to stay on track. It made me want to go down to the basement and get rid of every single piece of clothing that I have. Like, why do I have this many clothes? And also, let's talk about storage buildings for a minute. How many storage buildings can there be in Colorado Springs? I feel there's like two I can see from my house.
And they're always in like prime real estate areas too.
What were we thinking? America's Next Top Model. I know. Everybody was so skinny and so sad. They needed a cheeseburger, really, and they would have been a lot happier.
And people,
they'd have been a lot less angry.
And just all the marketing was driving people to think, if I can just get skinnier, then I'll be happier.
I'll be prettier. I'll be accepted. Yeah.
And there's probably not a.
So
I'm sure
probably not
types
a what?
Of studies done.
There's
on that
not
too,
there's an not. End. There's no end in sight when you go down that road. Okay, so our intro is: most people don't think they struggle with idolatry, but because we're not bowing down to statues. But the Bible says something shocking. Covetousness is idolatry. Mm. And Colossians 3:5 says, therefore put to death your members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Mm. And I don't think it's by accident that God puts covetousness right there with fornication, right there with uncleanness, evil desire. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the devil loves to try to paint things as, oh, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And I was asking God, how do I know when I'm falling into this trap of idolatry with covetousness? And he said, what do you like to do when you're stressed out? What do you like to do when you are, like, in a strait or having a hard time with something? What do you like to do? I like to go shopping. Mm-hmm. That's what I like to do. To me, it's a stress reliever. But God was saying anything that you go to when you are
to medicate yourself.
To medicate yourself. Hmm. Yeah. That's an idol. And so I thought, wow, that's wild. So if that's true, we need to ask, what does that actually look like in our lives every day? What is covetousness really? Well, covetousness is not just wanting something. It's believing I need this to be okay, mm-hmm. which what we were talking about a second ago. It's a heart issue. And it's misplaced dependence, misplaced hope, misplaced expectation. And I love what you added.
Lack of gratitude.
Lack of gratitude. That is a word, Chrissy, I know. Do you want to share about that? Because yeah. I know you feel very strongly about that.
Yeah. Gratitude is
Which
so huge. And I was kind of thinking about this progression of scripture in Romans 1, around verse 20. Mm-hmm. It says that people, they didn't glorify, it goes along with idol worship, actually.
Yeah.
I'm gonna turn there. Okay. You can share a thought.
Why do I struggle with this? Covetousness begins when something created starts competing with God for your trust. That's a big deal.
So here, going along with covetousness, which is idolatry. This really flows here, going along with gratitude, the importance of gratitude, mm-hmm. and not stepping into this very specific type of idolatry. Romans 1, verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Mm-hmm. Verse 21, "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, into an idol, made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things." So you could see that this progression here says, although people know God and really know who he is too, that they can see that he's a creator, he's good, he's powerful. Although they know him, it says they became unthankful. And then their
hearts were dark.
Their imagination started going in the wrong direction. So if you have this idol of covetousness, it's going to warp your imagination. It's going to warp your thought process to think, man, if I just had that car, then I'd be happy. Mm-hmm. And this is something that has to be taught, because it's actually just prevalent in society, prevalent in humanity. Mm-hmm. I just have to have that to be happy.
Yeah.
You see it with kids, you see it with adults, but especially raising kids, you kind of see it. I just have to have that toy and then I'll be happy. Once you have that, then in 15 minutes I'm done with it. Now I got to have that one to be happy. And it's like a never ending.
I want to talk to the women for a minute. Who all, if this is you, you're a woman, you have how many hair products? How many makeup products? Mm-hmm. How many skincare products? Because when I was studying this out, I was thinking of all the people I see on TikTok or Instagram Reels or whatever, and they're all trying to sell me something. Mm-hmm. It's like the age of the influencer, and the title of this message is Influenced into Discontent. Mm. Because what we see has a tendency of robbing us of our gratitude for what we do have. Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about all the hair products you're talking about.
And I know.
A lot of guys just have one bottle that does everything. It's shampoo, conditioner, body wash, aftershave, all in one bottle for
$2. Which, as a hairdresser for 13 years, I don't endorse that one product that does everything.
It's probably not the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many pairs of cowboy boots do you have?
Yeah, seriously, Pastor Aaron. So, but he always tells me I can sell these and make money off them, which he does. Mm-hmm. I don't like to. My problem is I don't want to sell any of my stuff. I like all my stuff.
Yeah, I have room for what I have room for. And then if I buy another pair, that means I have to sell a pair. That's where I'm at.
You don't do that with your shirts, though, but we won't talk about that.
I need to get
rid
of some shirts.
What did you want to add anything else with your?
Yeah, just when you're not thankful.
Yeah, when you're not thankful.
That lack of gratitude, it warps your imagination.
Yeah, and that's what we deal with on a continual basis when it comes to like seeing all the stuff in social media. It's whatever you're looking at is going to have your attention. Mm-hmm. So even though you might be a thankful person, when we're scrolling through social media and we're trying to be influenced by all the influencers and we're seeing all the things that we don't have, it's really easy to fall into the trap of, oh, I do need that. Oh, I do need this. I do need that. Or I'm,
well, that's how
I'm
marketing,
not this. I'm not that. They try to make you think
that's
you're like
that's how marketing
it.
Works.
Yeah.
Like when I went to college for music, I got a minor in business at Carnegie Mellon and took several business classes, but I took a marketing class. And basically what I learned from marketing is that how people learn marketing in business schools is just manipulation.
Yeah.
It's you have to manipulate people into thinking they need something.
Yeah. And lately, being 41, it's like, you don't want to deal with these fine lines in your forehead, so you need this anti-aging serum or whatever. And now I've got like so many facial things.
Well,
but
you
know what? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Sarah was how old in the Bible when it talks about how she was the most beautiful? Listen to me. Mm-hmm. How old was she? She was like 90, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, Lord Jesus, there's a word for me I can stand on. I don't need all these serums. I can just believe God that he's going to help me in the realm of anti-aging.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Aaron, you're not tracking with me. It's
sorry,
right
I was reading the comments.
I know you were. Chrissy said she was just thinking about this. I've been showering after the gym and need a new bag that is big enough to carry all of the stuff I use. I know. That's exactly. I know. You need a new bag. You need a bigger closet. You got to buy more hangers. Mm-hmm. You just... Man, it's never.
I know you need a bag that can fit here, and a bag that can fit here, and a bag that can fit here, and a bag. You
but
know.
You know what? If you were married to Pastor Aaron and you only got to have one carry-on bag when you fly somewhere, you learn how to do without.
That was our first fight as a married.
We're not
going
to go. We're not going to talk.
It was our honeymoon.
My flesh wants to. Anyway, about the checked bags. All right. Jesus addresses covetousness directly. In Luke 12:15, he says, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Take heed, he says. Pay attention. Beware. It's dangerous and deceptive. And it is. Life does not consist. Jesus is redefining what a good life actually is. Mm-hmm. We've been trained by culture to measure life by what we have, but Jesus says life is not found there at all.
Mm-hmm. I want to say this too. Like there has been a movement. I don't know if there is so much now, but like towards minimalist living.
Yeah. And
they, like tiny homes and yeah. Some of you might live in a tiny home, which is fine.
Yeah.
But don't make an idol out of that either.
Oh yeah. And
some
don't
people
be
make
better
an
than
idol
everybody
out
else
of not having anything, you know, which,
I know,
which is an idol unto itself. You know, I'm not going to have any money. I'm not going to have any housing. I'm not going to have any, which is bizarre.
Again, it goes back to comparing.
Yeah.
Know?
And again, humans can turn an idol, turn about anything into an idol.
We're good at that, you know, even
or
going
turn
back,
any person into an idol.
Yeah. That's a whole,
you know, turning thing. Certain, you know, worship leaders or pastors into an idol. And, you know, it's interesting if someone makes an idol out of a certain musician, even a Christian artist or a Christian speaker, and that person has a, you know, major screw up, you know, people lose their faith. Well, they didn't really have faith in Jesus. They had faith in their idol.
Yeah.
And their idol crashed down. So therefore.
Crashed and burned. So their faith crashed down with it. I know Lynn said, try flying with a competitive dancer. You know, Pastor Aaron's head might pop off if we had to have more than one bag, all the things. Okay, I want to read this parable in Luke 12:16-21. And this, I'll tell you what God spoke to me after I read this. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" This just reminded me of myself. What do I need to do since I bought another shirt and I don't have time? I don't have room in my closet or enough hangers. So he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And you know what? Sometimes we read this and it's so easy to think just about money. You know, that's mm-hmm. what everybody wants to attribute this to money. But God spoke clearly to me when he said, what about you, Heather? What about you? You just bought a whole new 30-pack of hangers from Walmart so you'd have enough hangers. Pastor Aaron's smiling. Have enough hangers to put all your clothes that you just got. Like, I don't even need that many clothes. And then my two closets downstairs, and I know Pastor Barbara's probably watching too, and she's saying yes because we've talked about this amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. And all of our closets in the basement are jammed full with clothes. And God was saying, you know what? I'm just going to be straight up with you. There have been so many times when I have been walking through a store just mindlessly, just to kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to say like ease my mind, but that's just something I like to do because it's, I don't know. It's enjoyable. Yeah. But the problem is Pastor Aaron can walk through a store because it's enjoyable and he can live with nothing. Pastor Heather walks through a store and I'm like, I have all the things, you know. But I can't take it with me, and it never satisfies. And every single time I'm out in a store, I can't tell you how many times God has said, you know what, you'd be a lot happier if you just go home and read your Bible. Like, if you spend this time that you're wasting walking through the store with me, that's where fulfillment is. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know. Have you ever been doing something and you thought, I'm trying to relieve stress right now, but I know that if I would just go seek God, like that's where the real rest is. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done anything like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what? Mowing the grass?
I usually enjoy mowing the grass, but sometimes it spills over into other things like, oh, I figured out why this one tree is not making it. It's because the whole drip line got pinched off by all these roots. And I got to find all the roots that are pinching it off and cut out the roots.
That's kind of like a necessity, though, because it's going to die. But, like, have you ever been doing something that you knew you didn't really have to be doing right now and you should be seeking God instead, like reading the Bible or praying or...
Yeah, probably. I think for me, it's like work. You know, I just work. You know, with church things.
It's the idol of work.
Yeah, and it's really like, hey, you should just take a break from work and spend some time with God in prayer, reading your Bible.
Yeah.
And usually when you do that, the rest of your time's more productive anyways.
Yes.
With your work.
Yeah.
So I think for me, sometimes men who have a strong work ethic, maybe some women too, but that can be a type of escape.
Yes,
or type of medication.
Yes.
To deal with different hardships, I guess, or tough points. Work can be that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to read Proverbs 13:7. I don't know if we're going to get through all this, Aaron.
No, it was a lot.
I know. It's good, though. Do you want to skip some of it? I don't even know what I would skip.
Do whatever you want. Yeah get the notes.
You can look at
it all.
Okay. Maybe I'll just try to power through some of this. Proverbs contrasts true riches. So Proverbs 13:7 says, there is one who makes himself rich, yet has nothing, and one who makes himself poor, yet has great riches. In the Amplified Classic, it says, one appears rich, but has nothing that lasts. One appears poor, but has indestructible riches. That's what I'm interested in, really. I just think it's so wild how the devil just tricks us all of a sudden, you know? Mm-hmm. It's so easy. So there are two kinds of riches, temporary and eternal. And you can have everything the world says matters and still have nothing that actually satisfies. Mm-hmm. I love this quote that says, what does it say?
What I'm kind of thinking of is...
Some people are so poor, all they have is their money. Mm-hmm.
And in today's world, too, with social media, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, a lot of people appear a certain way, but they aren't really that way, too.
Yeah.
And appearances are like a lot of people are focused on and trying to, you know, like I. And again, appearances are not an indicator of what's actually going on. Like someone who has like a $70,000 car just maxed out 10% interest rate versus someone who owns a $10,000 car outright cash. Like yeah. one person is wealthier than the other person. Mm-hmm. One person appears to be wealthier than the other. Mm-hmm. You know, so what is actually true and what appears to be true are very different.
Yeah.
And that happens so much in so many ways in life.
I've seen you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are really rich and they have what we call quiet wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of wealth, but they're not, they're just content.
Mm-hmm.
They're not showy about it. They might not have Louis Vuitton. They might not care to have one. They might not have Gucci. They might not have a Ferrari. We saw a Lamborghini when we went out to dinner the other night. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's wild. But that's kind of what I feel like. That's kind of like where I want to be. Like I'm fine with having quiet wealth,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's really not true riches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Modern day idolatry. We're going to skip. No, we're not. I'm going to just stay here for a second. Modern day idolatry. Modern day idolatry is being mass marketed and we call it influence.
Mm-hmm.
We're constantly being told you need this. This will fix you. This will complete you. And I've already kind of talked about it. We already kind of talked about this, about buying all the hair products and the skincare products and the...
Well, and everything's targeted with you know, algorithms, high-tech things, so they kind of know who you are. So, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, different apps know that I'm a 39-year-old man, so they try to market stuff that...
Directly to you.
...the average 39-year-old man might be interested in. So it's all about, you know, hair growth, hair loss... You know,
yes.
Wait, you know, you need to join our, you know, workout program.
Yes. If I see more stuff about like perimenopause medication, menopause medication, anti-aging stuff, like it's insane. Mm-hmm. The amount of just constant. And it's all the while pulling your trust away from God.
Well, and a lot of that stuff too, that whole approach to marketing, it just strips away like the soul of people, like the human, like people are just viewed as cattle and we got to get them to eat more corn and eat more hay and just get them super fat with all this stuff. And mm-hmm. the fatter, the better. That, you know, that reminds me of like selling cattle to the Packers.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of how the past 20 years of technology is driving humanity.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy out there. It's the Wild Wild West. Mm-hmm. So the pressure isn't just to have more. It's to be someone else's version of enough. I'll let that sink in for a minute. That's kind of like God just wants us. Jesus said his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many promises about, you know, how God supplies, he provides for us, how we shouldn't be worrying about what we eat, what we wear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we shouldn't worry about tomorrow. And all of this other stuff just is vying for our faith,
mm-hmm.
really. So let's skip to the root issue.
Okay.
The root issue, back to the heart. Covetousness is idolatry because you're looking to something created to do what only God can do. God gives you security, he gives you identity, and he gives you fulfillment. And the empty promise is that empty feeling you're trying to fill, that problem that never seems to have an answer, is covetousness. It promises satisfaction, but actually produces more lack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver.
Yeah. And I like that too. It's the love of silver, the love of money, the love uh-huh. of, you know.
The love of all the things.
If all these things are an idol,
yeah.
you know, you love it more than God, it's never going to be enough.
Yes. Yeah. But what's the solution?
You tell me. Well, you
typed
up the notes.
It's contentment in God. You have the notes too. Hebrews 13:5 says, be content, for he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Mm. Contentment is not settling. It's not lack of vision. Some people kind of like hide the fact that they might be a little bit of covetousness into, oh, I'm a visionary, or I'm
believing for more.
Yes, I'm believing for more. And there's a time for that.
Mm-hmm.
That should be part of our life too. But we have to be careful not to get like in the ditch either way. You know?
You need to be grateful for what you do have, what God has already done. Yeah. You know, thank God for what he's done, what he's doing now. And also you can thank him for what he's going to do.
Yeah. I think believing God for more and having vision for the future, when it's godly, I think patience is at work.
And when that more extends beyond yourself too. Like, yes. You know, I want to help more people. I want to give more. I want to be able to serve more. I want to grow in my talents so I can really have an impact.
Yes. It's not just wrapped up in you.
Yeah.
Making you into something.
But that more, it's...
feeds into the lives of others.
Well, feeds into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Into the kingdom. Yeah. So contentment is confidence in God as your source. Contentment isn't having less desire. It's having the right source. 1 Timothy 6:6-7 says, "Now godliness with contentment is a great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out."
Do you like that joke I shared yesterday?
Yeah, I think you should share it.
Yeah.
These people that are in the chat probably already heard it. Some probably you heard can it. Hear
they
it again.
Were there for offering yesterday, but I shared these verses and I brought up, yeah, you brought nothing into this world that's certain we can carry nothing out. So I told this joke about a very old, super wealthy, miserly man. So he just tried to pinch every penny, would never do anything unnecessary with his money. So he would never take his wife on vacation, never buy gifts, never give anything, just... I'm going to keep everything I got. And he ended up getting sick, was on his deathbed. The minister was there. His wife was there. And his dying wish was that he be buried with all of his wealth. He had $10 million. I want to be buried with all my wealth. And a few weeks later, he passed away, did the funeral at the graveside. You know, they're putting the casket in the ground, putting the dirt over it. And the minister who was there at the man's deathbed asked the widow, his wife, "Did you honor his dying wish?" And she said, "Yes, I did. I wrote him a check for $10 million and put it in the casket." So, you know, obviously.
She got the last laugh. Why?
In heaven, you can't cash that check.
Right. You can't cash a check.
There's no need for Chase Bank, no need for Wells Fargo, no need for these things in heaven when the streets are paved with gold.
That is funny.
So don't worry about your $10 million. You need to use. You know, you need to connect it to eternity while you're here on this earth.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. You know what? If this message didn't minister to you, man, it really ministered to me. I'm really going to try to do better with the help of God. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be condemned. You know, and that's the thing. You don't need to be condemned. When God shows you something, there's grace to help you. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't show you to condemn you. He shows you to help Satan, to help you get out from underneath something that Satan's trying to trick you into believing, you know?
But yeah, and again, with just the way the world is, it's always trying to, marketing tries to push you into discontentment.
Yes.
That is how it works. And even the algorithms are designed to do that. Like I remember a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, like people my age on social media, the big influencers were all into travel. You got to travel all the time. And I thought like, you know, I'd love to just live in one place and be happy with where I live and not just constantly need to. And traveling is fine, but if it's, again, if it becomes an idol.
Or a source of medication.
Yeah, and you're never going to see enough places or see enough, you know.
Yeah.
Try enough different foods and, like, it's not going to. People get it. Yeah, they can turn. Humanity can turn just about anything into an idol.
Well, look at the Israelites. They were constantly trying to fall into idolatry.
Worship, yeah.
People are still doing it too. So in closing, what have you been, hold on, ask yourself these questions. What have I been believing I need to be okay? And what has been quietly replacing God as my source? Those are two very important questions you can ask yourself, should ask yourself. When God is enough, everything else finds its proper place. And I'll just say this too. When God is enough, everything finds its proper place, but then you're in rest. You're not in this state of just turmoil, you know? And there's even like real studies have been shown on people that have too much clutter in their house. You know, sometimes we have too much clutter in our house. We need to get rid of it. About how it affects your mental health.
Or too much technology.
Or too much technology. Yeah.
I remember when I was studying as a classical musician, very high level. Like when I'd practice, I would turn off my computer. I didn't even want it on.
I know. Yeah.
Just like I didn't want the presence of an electronic device in my practice room. I wanted to be that focused when I practiced for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to power off the computer. Even though it was closed, I'm just going to power it off completely.
Yeah, because then you know it's not going to be a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we just want to take the time to pray for you guys, you know. That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to pray?
Yeah.
I have three points here.
Yeah, I'll pray these.
Do you want to pray those?
Those are great, yeah.
Okay.
Well, God, I just thank you for everyone watching this right now. Everyone joined in live, but everyone watching after the fact as well, Lord. I just thank you that you are just ministering to people right now, that they will be free
mm-hmm.
from that trap of comparison. Well, they'll just be happy to be the person that you created them to be. And just realize that they have everything that they need already within them, because they have Jesus Christ inside them.
Amen.
If they have Jesus, they have more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thank you for restoration to contentment, where, you know, people have been just bobbled off to the side into discontentment, whatever it might be about, Lord. I just think that you're bringing them back to the center, back to you. Jesus, you are at the center. So I just thank you that people are being restored
mm-hmm.
into that place of contentment and godliness. And we just thank you that we can just put our entire trust in you, God, as our provider. You are Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides everything that we need. So whatever need we might have, we're not going to just make it an idol or just be very discontent, but we're just going to look to you as our source and just trust you and know that you're going to take care of it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. We had a great time with you. If you have any more questions, feel free to leave them in the comment section after this ends, remember, because all of this is going to disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you guys have a great week, and we will see you next Monday.